The E-Commerce Fuel Podcast is brought to you by OneClick Upsell from Zipify Apps. And I love OneClick Upsell because it offers an incredible amount of bang for the buck. If you get the app, it's simple enough and powerful enough that you can get it set up and get running in an hour or two, get those upsells in front of your customers. And in return, one in six of your customers are going to spend more with you because one in six people who are offered an upsell through OneClick Upsell actually take it. And that's money that just flows instantly without having to spend more on advertising, without having to go through painful, expensive, timely CRO processes. This is something you can set up and start seeing the fruits of right away. They've helped generate over $150 million in additional revenue for Shopify merchants just like you. So if that sounds interesting, you can learn more about OneClick Upsell and get started with them at ecommercefuel.com/upsell. The E-Commerce Fuel Podcast is sponsored by Klaviyo, the leading e-commerce marketing solution for email and SMS trusted by over 50,000 merchants. Why? Because they have a pretty amazing segmentation and customization engine built in to their marketing platform. It lets you send messages based on what your customers have done, what pages they've visited, how much they've spent with you, how much they're likely to spend with you over time with their very cool LTV prediction tool, what products they've purchased or haven't purchased. It's pretty incredible. And in a world where email inboxes are only getting more crowded, people are getting more ruthless, sending highly targeted messages is the only way you're going to be able to cut through the noise. And you can do that with Klaviyo. So if you want to make more money from your flows, from your efforts on email and SMS, check them out. You can start for free at klaviyo.com/ECF. That's klaviyo.com/ECF. Hey, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, the show dedicated to helping seven-figure-plus e-commerce brands build incredible businesses and amazing lives. And today on the show, we're going to be talking about something that has some pretty massive implications for how much you get done during the day, how productive you are, by extension, how well your business does. And I'm a betting man. I like to bet. And I would be willing to bet that you probably haven't thought about this recently, if at all, ever. And that is how your computer is set up, how it's optimized, how you use it, and how efficient you are with it. Think about it. You spend anywhere from, if you're amazingly good, you're in front of a computer 6 hours a day. More likely, it's 8 to 10 hours a day, sitting in front of the screen, typing on these little keys. And your ability to use that machine well, it's your portal. It's all of our portals, for better or for worse in 2021 here, into the world that we work in. And so I want to talk about really mastering it, because there's some things, the difference between some of the things we're going to talk about, if you don't do them at all, and if you do them incredibly at a world-class level, I think it's realistic to say you could save 5, 6, 7 hours a week with some of this stuff, seriously. And so anyway, we're going to dive into that, talking about thinking about using your machine and upping your, you know, really leveling up your computer skills so they're not a limiter in terms of how much you can get done. So I'm going to dive right into it today. The first one I want to talk about is how old is your machine? So I recently picked up a new MacBook. I'm a Mac guy. I used to be a diehard PC guy. They converted me a while back. Feel free to send your hate mail accordingly via Twitter or email. Look forward to getting it. But you know, I've got a Mac and recently picked up one of the new MacBooks with the M chip in it. And amazing. Like the speed, the M chip is one of Apple's new chips that's designed in-house for them. They can design it specifically for their Apple products. And it's unbelievable, largely from that battery, but from a performance perspective. And getting the new laptop just from a raw speed perspective, I mean, not hours per week, but boot up time, just speed of doing things saves me a significant amount of time. And we've all had that experience when you buy a new machine and you don't even know how slow your old machine is until you get a new one. So question number one, how old is your machine? If you haven't gotten one probably in the next, you know, within the last 2 to 3 years, upgrading your machine is very likely going to have a positive ROI for you just from a speed standpoint within the next year. So something to consider. How old is your rig? For those of you that are thinking about maybe those new MacBooks, looked at the MacBook Air versus the Pro with the M chips. I don't know why the Pro really has the edge anymore, apart from just driving, you know, helping your Apple stock price go up, which it does very well. MacBook Air, I won't get into here. MacBook Air seemed like I've been a Pro user for a couple of years. Went back to the Air because seemed to have almost all the benefits for a little less money. Anyway, sidebar. Upgrade your machine if you haven't recently. Number two, take advantage of the amazing opportunity that is in front of you when you buy a new machine. You have this wonderful chance to to start fresh. You know, like when you move somewhere, you can throw all that stuff out that you've had hiding in the closet, or you felt too bad to give away before, but now at the prospect of like hauling it across the country, you just throw it away and then you don't even think about it 2 minutes later. You get a new machine, you have this incredible opportunity. And so often on the Mac side or the PC side, the instinct and the easy thing to do is to transfer everything over, bring everything over, all your documents, all your applications, all of the backup tools, all the little, you know, applications that start on startup. Do not do that. No, don't do that. Keep it clean. What I would highly recommend is instead of transferring everything over, transfer over your documents, transfer over your music and your images, and then reinstall only the applications you need. This does a couple of things. One, it saves your hard drive space, which is a nice little side perk. But two, the biggest thing is you're only using for the memory, for the startup time. So many of these little tools, they'll embed themselves in the startup and they'll take your, you know, make your computer take longer to start up. You're only adding the stuff you really need, because just like financial debt, we all accumulate some level of digital debt on our computers until, you know, you're in a computer for 2 or 3 years. Or even if you transfer over all your files from your old one onto your new one, you know, a computer that normally could start and 30 seconds takes, you know, 75 seconds to start up. So it takes more time, but I always try to do this, reinstall the applications and just only manually move over the documents. And then finally, like I touched on, go in and anything you don't need. The only things I have that start up automatically on startup for me are Slack, because I'm in there with my team, Dropbox, because it syncs my computer, and a tool that I use to move my windows around for the OS. That's pretty much it. Everything else, I axe, and you can do that in the system preferences for Mac or PC. Don't let stuff load on startup unless you absolutely have to. All right, number three, gonna start off with a story. And this goes out to Errol, one of my old bosses back in my financial days. Pretty sure he's not listening anymore, but if you are, Errol, shout out to you. I went into his office one day when he was working on a spreadsheet, and my eyes just bugged out of my head because he was just screaming around this spreadsheet. The stuff he was able to do in about 20 seconds was something that would probably take me at least 2 minutes to do on my computer. And when he would come into my office when I'd be working in Excel as a little neophyte, he'd just growl in frustration and go, "Oh, what are you doing? Use the keyboard." And I think at one point, he even unplugged my mouse. And he was a little savage with his approach, but incredibly poignant and wise in his investing in those keyboard shortcuts, because it saved him hours and hours and hours and hours and hours in the long run. And that's the same thing. Even if you're not an Excel geek or a financial analyst, do you know how to send an email message with a keyboard shortcut in your email client? Do you know how to, after you get done typing, do you know the keyboard shortcut for just being able to send it and go back to your inbox? Do you know how to switch between applications on your computer? Do you know how to search for and fire up any application on your computer without touching your mouse? Do you know how to CC someone on an email with your keyboard? No? If you don't know the answer to all, if you can't do all of those with a keyboard, all of those, A, can be done with a keyboard shortcut, and B, you should absolutely learn them. It's super painful at first. It's incredibly frustrating because you slow down probably by 70 to 80%, maybe 90%. But if you're willing to stick with it for a couple, you know, a week or two, I just recommend going into writing them all down, putting them on the side of your computer and using them, as painful as it is on a week you don't have a crazy amount going on. And focus on your email client and your operating system and Chrome or whatever your browser is. Your browser, your email client, if you have a separate one outside of web-based, and your operating system. That's 80%, 90% right there. If you invest in that, I guarantee you, you'll probably save, it seems little, but you'll probably save 20 to 25 minutes per day in just getting more stuff done. It seems crazy, but you do the math and it adds up over time. So number three, geek out on keyboard shortcuts. They can save you a ton of time and just they're just deeply satisfying at some level too. And finally, on this point, do you know how many words per minute you can type? And if your answer is no, if you answer yes, you probably can type reasonably quickly because you know that kind of thing. If you don't know that, go to the web, just Google free typing test, see how many words per minute you can type. If you are below 50, again, same thing, painful at first, I strongly recommend spending some time to get better at typing, because man, it's the way that all your emails that you're sending, connecting with your team, anything you are writing on your computer, if you can increase your you know, if you type 40 words per minute and you get an extra 10 words per minute for the rest of your life, you're 25% more productive in writing emails. It's crazy. But nobody does this stuff. So would strongly recommend that. Go check it out. I think the average is around maybe 40, 45, but with some practice, it's not that hard to get up to, you know, 80, 90, 100 words per minute. One more thing on the keyboard shortcut side of things. I use a tool called Better Touch Tool that lets you pretty much, even if there isn't a default keyboard shortcut for something, it lets you create one and map one for your computer. And the one I use the most often is for arranging windows. So if I pull up a bunch of windows and I want to have one snap to the right side, one snap to the left side, I can do that in about 3 seconds as opposed to grabbing with my mouse, dragging it over, dragging the other one over. It just keeps things organized. I can organize my windows really quickly. And then plus, like even for screen capture right now, if I just go in and a quick little keyboard shortcut, I can automatically pull up the tool to capture a screenshot or screen image or a little video. Super handy. So Better Touch Tool. I don't know if it's Mac or I know it's Mac. I don't know if it's for PC available, but super handy. If you're still with me, if you're still listening to me talk about keyboard shortcuts on the podcast, vaguely interested maybe in this. So everyone else is long gone. Like I've heard this sermon before. I don't need to hear it again. So 4 and 5 are kind of bonus little ones, but number 4 is splurge on making your workplace is super easy to be productive in. Obvious one here is monitors, like nice monitors. Like I've kind of splurged in having a couple nice monitors in multiple places so that wherever I land to do some work, I've got a great monitor to spread out on. I use something called the Roost Stand. It's actually made by an ECF community member and great product. I'll link up to it in the show notes, but I have a couple of those in different locations so that wherever it's a stand that lifts up your laptop. So it's not down low, it's up high at eye level along with your other monitors. And that's great. So I have a couple of those. And just places where I land, it's really easy to just, you know, whether it's office or home or somewhere else you have an office, you can just hit the ground running. Even if it costs a little bit more, deck out your places. It makes a difference. And also make them comfortable. I have been not as good at this as I wish I have been, but I've had offices in the past where I invested the time to make them comfortable. I put some plants in there. I put some pictures or some posters. And I've had offices that just kind of look like Milton from Office Space, right? Even though a lot of times that's when I know I'm only to be there for a short time, but oh man, we spend so much time in our offices. Take the 2 or 3 hours and make them nice because it's worth it. You just, when you feel better and more comfortable in a space, you're more productive. So yeah, I definitely recommend both of those. And then finally, this isn't really a productivity tip, although in some sense it is. Make sure you've got 2 backup sources for your computer. Just had the unfortunate event recently of having a computer bite the dust. And I thought we had a cloud-based backup going. Unfortunately, it had expired. The subscription had expired like 6 months ago. So, and then also recently had an issue where I had someone try to break into an office. And point being on both of those, it's not enough to just have a cloud-based service or a local-based backup hard drive. Do both, you know, have all of your key documents and key files backed up to a local hard drive as well as a cloud-based service. And it's because it's, you know, doesn't happen for 5 or 6 years and then you have something happen where you lose some incredibly valuable data and it's super painful. So I just found this out recently. If you're using Dropbox, Dropbox actually has a backup service for the whole computer in addition to their file syncing, which is pretty cool. And it doesn't cost anything more if you're a paid Dropbox member. So I would recommend that. But regardless, make sure you've got 2 backup sources, local and in the cloud. So that's it for this one. Kind of a short one. Again, I realize this is not the world's most cutting edge visionary topic. You've probably heard some version of this speech before, but it's super important. We just went through a job hiring process. And as part of that, I asked for a typing test. And one of the applicants for the role was like, why do you ask for a typing test? This is 2021. Why? It's so caught off guard. And I told her, I was like, well, I asked for a typing test because one of the applicants that we got typed 9 words per minute. and like, that's very extreme, right? But this is the way you interact with the world, at least our world online. And so small investments here and gains here can really add up and yeah, make a big difference. So anyway, speech over, lecture over. Hope you take a few of these to heart and thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for listening. And the fact that you made it to the end of the episode tells me you're probably someone interested in this stuff and might be a really good fit for the e-commerce fuel community. Our community is the world's largest group of 7- and 8-figure e-commerce store owners and offers a value-packed form, dynamic live events, and much more. If that sounds interesting at all, you should learn about membership and how to apply at ecommercefuel.com. Big thank you to our 2 sponsors. Supercharge your email marketing efforts with Klaviyo, the world's best email and SMS marketing engine at klaviyo.com/ECF. and also one-click upsell from Zipify Apps, where you can rapidly increase your average order value by offering powerful targeted upsells. You can get started with them at ecommercefuel.com/upsell. Finally, thanks to Sherelle Torrecampo for helping produce the show. Work hard, adventure often, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again next Friday.
This is the ASY Radio Network live from New York.